Okay, today's daf is daf Mem Aleph, and we continue our journey in Masechet Bava Metzia, third parak, which is parak HaMafkid, and we're talking here about the dinim of Shmira, and about the violation of the Baalut of the Shmira, and we got up to the Mishnah on daf Mem Amud Beis, the Halakha Mishnah, which goes as follows, HaMafkid Chavit Etzel Chaviro, V'lo Yechdo Lo Makom, Bali Makom. So somebody now deposits, let's say, a barrel of wine by a friend and does not request a particular place that it should be put into. Says, take care of this for me. And now the fellow who's the showman moves it. V'tiltila v'nishtabra, and it breaks. So imitoch yadol nishbara, if it breaks while he's carrying it, so then it would depend whether the moving it was litzorcho. So if he took it for his own purposes to move it, it would be chayev. Lutzorcha, if he took it for its own purposes, and it needed to be put into a better place, then it would be patur. Imishihi nichanishbara, if he put it down, and only subsequently did it break, then bein litzorcha patur. It wouldn't matter whether his initial intent had been to take it or not, since now it was put down, so now it's back in the state that it was, apparently. And it's, again, the Shmira has begun, so to speak, or continued as it was before. And Gemara is going to examine why that would be true, but we'll just take it kipshuta right now. On the other end of Yirdu lo ha-Baalim makom, if the Baalim requested that it be put into a particular place, and then v'tiltala, then he moves it v'nishbara, then it wouldn't matter whether it was bein mitoch yado, bein mishihinicha, even after he puts it down, it remains chayav, if it was done l'tzorcho for the person's own use, and if it was done l'tzorcho initially, then it's patur. Okay, so let's analyze what's happening here. Says the Gemara. We begin the Mishnah, which says that if you put something back down again, then if anything happens to it, since it's an ones, you're not responsible. The problem is that you had violated the rules of the Shmira initially, because it says that this would be true even if you had taken it l'tzorcho. So let's consider it as if it were, let's say, stolen. You were taking it away. Now, you put it back down. What happens at the point that you put it back down? Have you returned it? Have you returned it and also begun the Shmira again? What exactly happened? Now, we know that there is a machlokas about this, which we had earlier, between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. This was back at the end of Bava Kamma. And indeed, this Mishnah would make perfectly good sense according to Rabbi Yishmael. Because Rabbi Yishmael, amani Rabbi Yishmael, d'amar lo be'ina da'at ba'ali. Rabbi Yishmael says when you return something to its previous state, you needn't inform the owner that it had been stolen and returned. Titania Hagonev Tile Mina Eder, Vesela Mina Kis. So you return now money back into a wallet, or you're a shepherd, and you return a sheep back into the flock, which is the Makom Sheganav Yarzir. Get it, put it back into the place where it had been stolen from, and everything's fine. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Whereas Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Tzarich Da'at Ba'alim. So long as you didn't tell the Baalim, since at the time that you took it, it became yours in terms of Geneva, Gezela, returning without informing is not considered to be a Hashava. Now there, back in Bava Kamma, Rashi said, because the moment that he took it, Litzorcho, at that point, that's the end of the relationship between him and the Baalim. He's violated the terms of that relationship. He's no longer a Shomer. If he's not a Shomer, then it hasn't gotten back into the Baalim's Rishus by restoring it to the flock that he's taking care of, because it's irrelevant at this point. So now, the problem would be, says the Gemara, just as an aside, you're saying that that's Rabbi Yishmael. Are you quite certain? Because if it's Rabbi Yishmael, why does the Mishnah talk about a case where lo yirdo lo makom? So according to Rabbi Yishmael, my are lo yirdo. I mean, wouldn't it be true? Afilo yirdo nami? Would it not be so that Rabbi Yishmael would have said exactly the same thing if the Baalim had insisted that it be in a particular place? No, that's fine, says the Gemara. The issue isn't over here about the difference between this being its particular place, and therefore you're being more mitchayev because you took it. On the contrary, it's lo miboy ka'amar. In other words, if it had a particular place, and I put it back into that particular place, so you would say, okay, it was restored to a place that defined it as its place, because those were the original understandings of the Shmirah. The Baalim said, please leave it in this closet. So the guy was mashil, the mokum of the closet, for the storage of this person's wine. And therefore, if he puts it back there, I would say, okay, fine, that's like putting it back to the guy's house. But if you just utilize the rights of your own Shmirah, I mean, that's sort of a tautology. I've now put it back. Why have I put it back? Because originally I was a shomer who had a right to define wherever it would be. But now you're not a shomer, because now you violated the shmirah by taking the tzor chovah. So how could you ever put it back? Because wherever you put it, it's not back, since the back is defined by the nature of the original relationship. So you might think that in that case, Rabbi Yishmael would be made it to Rabbi Akiva, that is not considered to be a shavak. And that is a big chiddush. Therefore, comes along the Mishnah to say, not only in the case of Yigdo, where over there, I can view it as Mikumahu. This is its place because it was lent to the guy originally. So the closet still remains lent to the depositor for purposes of putting in the chavit. So put it back. But how can you say I put it back where it doesn't have a defined place? Where's the back? So afilu lo yichdo, that you can't call it mikomavu, you still don't require da'at balim, which is a vast extension of what we would have thought about the das of Rabbi Yishmael. In other words, the naive reader would have thought that Rabbi Yishmael is saying this is considered to be a return because it's as if you put it back into the guy's house. But that's not the point. The point is that as soon as the violation of the conditions of the Shmirah sees, and I intend to be shomer it for him, then the Shmirah goes back into effect. And we don't view it as being the end of our relationship. So, okay, so if that's the case, the Kiddush is that even if it's lo b'mekoma, a particular place, any place that I subsequently put it down that shall be its place is considered to be giving you back. Okay, then that's great. We'll see. We'll see about that. So now, says the Gemara, getting back to my question, you interrupted me about whether it's Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, but are we happy now? So it's Rabbi Yishmael. Now can I continue? So now look at the last part of the Mishnah, and you'll see that it's a contradiction. Ema Seifa. The Seifa of the Mishnah says, Yigdola Ba'alim Makom, that in the event that the Ba'alim did define a place for it, V'tiltolav V'nishbara, so then it doesn't matter. Bein mitoch yado, bein mishinicha, l'tzorcho chayav, l'tzorcho patur. Now, that is weird, because, I mean, if anything, it tends in the other direction, as you just pointed out. If the Baalim gave it a place, and now he puts it back, oh, no, then you're in trouble, because then you are chayev no matter what, whether it's the tzorchor, whether it's once you would be now. Dishbara, once you put it down, you'd still be chayev, let's tzorchor. Whereas in the ratio where you weren't putting it down, it's makom, once you put it down, you'd be potter, even if it was the tzorchor. How does that work? I mean, the only way it could possibly work is not a libet of Rabbi Yishmael. In other words, you could say that this seifa is going according to Rabbi Akiva. So since Rabbi Akiva says, be'inan da'ad balim, so you did not return it, because the relationship of the Shmirah was over as soon as you took it with Sarcho, and once you took it with Sarcho, it would now be in need of das balim in order to return, and there's no das balim here. Does that make sense? Before we let you finish the question about it being Reisha Rabbi Yishmael and Sefer Rabbi Akiva, I just want to make sure I understand you. The Seifa is Rabbi Akiva. Why? I mean, according to Rabbi Akiva, why would it have to say Yigdo? Afilu lo Yigdo. Now again, remember, there's two ways of looking at it, just as the way you looked at it before. Because in a case where it's lo Yigdo, then there's less of a violation of the Shmirah on removing it. On the other hand, in a case where it's lo yigdo, then there's also less of a return when you put it back. So it depends how you look at it. That's why we're asking in both directions. So when you say, according to Rabbi Akiva, you require da'at ba'alim, I mean, that would be even if you removed it from a place that hadn't been defined in advance by the ba'alim anyway, right? So if you're claiming it's Rabbi Akiva, why did the Mishnah say dafka, this din in yigdo? In other words, the problem here is, from a broader perspective, the naive reader reads the Mishnah, he says to himself, aha, the difference is yichdo or lo yichdo. I mean, isn't that what the Mishnah is saying? What our analysis has done and said, well, actually, it's irrelevant. Yichdo or lo yichdo, you see. That was just to fool you. But the real distinction between the Reish and the Seifa is that the Reish believes that you don't require Das Balim is going a libet Rabbi Yishmael. The Seifa holds you need Das Balim is going a libet Rabbi Akiva. Now, you must admit that then it's rather strange that the difference is expressed in the Mishnah in terms of yichdo or lo yichdo. So obviously the Gemara is going to focus in on that. I mean, if that's the point, that it's Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yishmael, and not Yichdo or Lo Yichdo, then there's got to be a darn good reason for your having said Yichdo. We need to arrive at that through a Lomi boy. In other words, no, you show it to Badafka Chiddush. I want you to know that Rabbi Yishmael said his din even if Lo Yichdo, then it's considered to be Ashava. And Rabbi Akiva said his din even if it is Yichdo, that you still need Da'at Ba'alim. So let's just look at that in the Gemara. Ask the Gemara. See, once you see it from that perspective, you understand exactly what the Gemara is doing here. When you look at it locally, it looks like we've interrupted. Well, 1 second. You sure it's Rabbi Yishmael? But that's not the point. Okay, so if indeed it's Rabbi Akiva, So then my ayre yigdo, afilo lo yigdo nami. Who cares whether you're meyachid it or not? No. It's a chiddush, you see. Because you might have thought that lo mi boy lo yigdo. It's okay. Why does Rabbi Akiva require that bali? Because where you put it down is totally irrelevant. If the idea over here is that there was no place initially that was defined as its place, and now you went ahead and you put it down somewhere. And according to Rabbi Akiva, there's a problem of the reinstitution of the Shmira. It won't be reinstituted unless the Balaam accepts it and says, okay, but I still want you to take care of it for me. Okay, but maybe that's only because there's no place to put it that could be defined as its place. How about if Yichdo, then maybe Rabbi Akiva would be invited to Rabbi Yishmael? Okay, but I did put it back, and the understanding was as long as it's back in your house, so to speak, because I lent you the closet, so the closet might as well be your house. So I put it back in your rishos. So then maybe over there you don't require Dat Balim to reconstitute the Shmira. Ela filu yigdo nami. Therefore, we want to say in the Mishnah, not because we're trying to fool you that the difference between the Reish and the Seifa is whether yigdo or lo yigdo, but because we're trying to bring out Gufa Chiddush in the Shitas of the two Tanoim that the Reish and the Seifa represent. So now that you understand that there is a Chiddush, that afilu yigdo nami, dimikomau, put it back in the place that was defined as its place for its owner. Nonetheless, be on that bali. In order for me not to be mitchayevid onasim, I need to reconstitute the rules of the Shmira, because otherwise, basically, I'm just a taker. Now, whatever that taker means, that is the journey that we're about to embark on. Because obviously, there's a taker who's a gazlan. There's a taker who's a shoel. There's a taker who's a shoel shalomidat. So we have an idea of shlichut yad. Oh, now wait a minute. Is shlichut yad a subcategories of types of genevas? Is shlichut yad just a halacha that, well, since you're going to use it, you might as well be a shoya? Or is it a completely new category which has different definitions? Now here, for the first time, see, until now we've been talking about the dinim of hashava of a gazlan. And we've been sort of loosely taking the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva as if it applies across the board to hashava. Now the question is, we may have been making some wrong assumptions. And clearly we're going to be able to use this Mishnah as a wedge to get into that Shaila, because here we're dealing with the Hashava of not of a Gazan, of a Shemer. So we need to establish now what does it mean when it says Lutzorcho. And that's going to be now the topic of our discussion. So our question that gives us the wedge is, well, Reisha Rabbi Yisrael, Vasefer Rabbi Akiva, does it make sense to present a Mishnah according to the Das of two different Tannoim, and, to leave you hanging with a complete misconception that there's an afkamina between Mekomo and Mekomam, and it's sort of outrageous. You're contradicting yourself in terms of the Psak. You're not presenting a case that's supposed to really make sense. What's the point of it? Says the Gemara, well, it happens to be that that's the reality, because, you know, in Rabbi Yochanan said, anybody who's able to explain this Mishnah about Chavit, that it should work out according to one Tana, I will personally carry his towel and gym shoes to the gym. Because I'm willing to be a Mishamish, a guy like that. So, you know, go ahead, tell me. So Tirgum Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba Kamidu Rav. Actually, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba explained the Mishnah. Well, he wasn't talking to Rabbi Yochanan, but the way he understood the Mishnah. I mean, this Mishnah strikes anybody as being impossible to understand in any consistent way. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba was learning by Rav, said there is a way to understand the Mishnah, and it would be talking about Shenatla Almanat Legozla, and we're going to get into the explanation of what it is that he was saying in a moment. Whereas Reb Nosson Bar Abba, who was also learning in front of Rav, he said, no, it would be talking about the Mishnah, a case of Natla Amanat L'Shalach Bayat. It's not that he took it initially, Blitzorcho, to steal it. He took it to use it. Okay. So before we get into the implications of that for the Mishnah, I mean, what are they arguing about? Why does one say the case is that he took it to steal it, and one says it's talking about that he took it to be sholeir bayad? So first, before we get to the implications of their statement, we need to know that there's a machloket about the nature of shlichut yad. We know that the Torah says umet o nishbar shvulat Hashem tiyeh ben shneihem im lo shalach gadol bimlechet reyeh. Right. So that means that ones, it died. It was taken by Goyim, Nishba. So these are things that are complete onasim. Nonetheless, there needs to be a shvua that you hadn't been shaler bayad. But had you been shaler bayad, then you would be chayiv, even on onasim. What is that referring to when it's a shlichud yad? So mandi amar legozla. The mandi amar over here was Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba, who said that the Mishnah would make sense if we assumed that when it says that he took it, it means that he took it to actually steal it. And his initial intent would be that he was going to keep it. He holds that shlichut yad tzricha chisaron. It's not considered to be a shlichut yad, which would subsequently be mechayev him in onasim, unless there was some loss to the object. So to simply say he moved the barrel because he needed the barrel. Was he going to hurt the barrel? Did he take something out of the barrel? What exactly was done that would call it shlichut yad? If you hold shlichut yad tzricha chisaron, not simply usage, but some kind of damage, some kind of loss to the owner of the barrel, so then this doesn't make any nafkamina what he took it for, because he was never sholeach bayad. So therefore, he had to say, well, no, it's not talking about it with sholeach bayad bialma. His intent was legozla, which of course is the ultimate shlichus yad. That's the ultimate chisaron. The moment he picks it up, he's taking it out of the shuta baalim. Which man di armel shalach bayad is, there's no reason to be so extreme about it. I mean, not that I'm arguing about what the din would be in that case, but certainly that's not the norm to be mami the case with tzorcho, meaning he was going to steal it. I mean, that's not the pashtus. The tzorcho means he was going to use it. So I hold there's no need to postulate over here a case of gezela. It means exactly what it says. He took it to use it. But shlichut yad does not mean that there was a chisaron. Shlichut yad is a chiddush of the Torah in the dinim of shemrim, not in the normal relationships about gezela. So shlichut yad is a completely different halacha. There exists a specific relationship defined as the dinim of shemrim, depending on the particular context. Did you get money? Did you not get money? Did you have rights to use it? Whatever. So we have four categories of shemrim. The Torah relates to that as being a unique contract between two people that has nothing to do with the norms of the interrelationships that we have in Baba Kama, which are purely Nezikin-oriented relationships. There, Gezela is defined a particular way, Hashav is defined a particular way. When it comes to Shlichus Yad, we're talking about something else, which is a Hafarat Emunim. We're talking about violation of trust. And now, you change the nature of the relationship between you. And the Mandi Amar holds that Chisaron does not require, Shlichus Yad does not require Chisaron, holds that it's a chiddush hatorah, that in terms of the relationships of shomrim, you become chayev and onasim because of the fact that you violated trust.
Mishandling.
It's not mishandling. I mean, mishandling would generally imply negligence.
Handling without permission.
But that's not mishandling, necessarily. Makif lo Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet, again, we haven't got to the point where we're going to explain what this has to do with our Mishnah, because the discussion in front of Rav was not in terms of how to explain Rav Yochanan's problem, you see. This the Baal HaMor points out. I mean, the Gemara never does this. Usually, when you're coming to respond to a question of Reisha X, Seifa Y, what's the format? Says so-and-so. No, Kula X. And how do I explain it? Like this. Or Kula Y. And how do I explain it? Like that. And how do the Gemara leave that out? That doesn't make any sense. Obviously, the context of this discussion in front of Rav was without any recognition of there being a problem of Reisha X and Seifa Y, because they never reached that point. They took the Mishnah at face value. So at face value, we're going to have to explain the difference between the Yichud and the Lo Yichud, and what exactly was the case. You see, at the end, the Gemara is going to point out that, in fact, that does offer an alternative to Rabbi Yochanan's taking gym shoes. You know, so why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan like the alternative that's offered? But the Gemara now isn't following its standard format, because they weren't talking about that. They were simply asking, okay, what happened in the Mishnah? So that would allow us to understand the difference between having a makom or not having a makom. That's the question. So Rav Sheshet, again, before we even get to the implications for the Mishnah, Rav Sheshet says, I don't like either of those pshatim. And I'll tell you why. Because all the Mishnah says is you moved it. It doesn't say you took it for any purpose. Not for gezela, not to use it. How do you read that into the Mishnah? You really think that the Mishnah would have said the word tiltala when it really meant you took it? Tiltala means you moved it, and that's the only point. So how could you possibly tell me that the issue over here is some type of kinyan in terms of gezela? I mean, that's crazy. El Amar of Sheshes, I'll tell you what the point is over here. You moved it because you wanted to stand on it to reach your pantry or your dovkat. And that is neither gezela nor shlichus yad. You know what it is? It's a shor shalom idad. You're like anybody else, because this is irrelevant to the din of the shmira. That's all. It's simply irrelevant. You are not doing anything. You're not misusing something. All you did was you moved it in order to stand on it. Now the question is, okay, what does that make you? Oh, so that is the question. Clearly, you had no intention to steal it, you were simply going to use it, but as George Bernard Shaw always pointed out, we've already established what you are, a goslin. It might have been for a very low price, but this is it. Huh? So if that's the case, now getting to the Mishnah, going back to what would be our normal format, really, Kula Revi Yishmali, So therefore, the issue over here is, the Mishnah is not a problem. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Sheshes all agree that this is the way to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shmuel. The question is, what happened? Did you have a din of a gadlan in terms of wanting to be kainet? Did you have a din of a sheler bar yad in terms of chedesh akra? Do you have a din of a shel shaloi midas, which is b'chayev yun onasim? Fine, that's a side issue. But the point in the Mishnah, indeed, is having or not having a place. So what's the nafkamina to tell me the sefer? But if it had a place, then you're in trouble. And now you're going to be chayev. Once you took it to the tzarchor, you're going to be chayev. Even I'll leave it to Rabbi Yishmael. I thought Rabbi Yishmael holds lo b'ina dat balim. It's very simple. The Mishnah means that if you had a place and you didn't put it back in the place, that's the chenotus Rabbi Yishmael is saying. If it didn't have a place, then wherever you put it is its place. But if initially, as part of the Shemira, you had been miyachid a place, and now you're going to say, well, I mean, I didn't violate the terms of the Shemira. Because according to him, you don't need dat ba'alim. So in not violating the terms of the Shemirah, I've now decided to watch it here. So now I'm still a Shomer, and once I put it down, you're going to say, okay, so now you're a Shomer again. You're a Shomer Chinam, and you're not Chayev and Onasim. No. You're still in violation of the terms of the Shemirah, because you never put it back down into a state of Shemirah, because the state of Shemirah included its Mokai. And that's the whole point of the Mishnah, is where it was. Significant or not? That depends on whether it was defined initially at the time of the Shemirah. This is where it is for purposes of Shemirah.
Defined by the Baal
and the... Yeah, the agreement between the Baal and the Shomer.
The Shomer can't just make his own...
Yeah, exactly. You can if he didn't stipulate. But if he stipulates, then that's part of the Shemirah. And that's what Rabbi Yishmael is saying. We never talked about Rabbi Akiva before. So that would be, again, a naive reading, so to speak, of the Mishnah. Take it at face value. The Mishnah is saying the Nafkamina is, do you have a place or don't have a place? It's not teaching me anything about the particular Shitot of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. It's simply telling me the status of defining place at the time of a Shemirah. That's what it's about. So Sefer Shinicha b'makom she'ena mikoma. That's amazing. Boy, Rabbi Yochanan's going to be awfully busy carrying gymshirt. So it's Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, why does Rabbi Yochanan find the Mishnah impossible? And he's ready to bet nobody is going to be able to explain this Mishnah only according to one man. I mean, we got three people. They all seem to have a reasonable approach. Now, Rabbi Yochanan denies that possibility, Bichlal, because Rabbi Yochanan says, look, when you say hinicha, doesn't mean you set it down out of your hands. The word, what does the word hanacha technically mean, always? A relationship between an object and its space, correct? So that's why you need hanacha in Shabbat in order to become chayev. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7. Okay. Therefore, that's out of the question. Okay, that's not what the Mishnah means. Now, given that that's not what the Mishnah means, that inicha somewhere, but inicha in its place, I don't know, what's the point of inicha? Putting it down? That's not the point, putting it down. It's placing it. That's what the word inicha means, precisely. Inicha means to replace it. Replace it means that it has to have its place. So therefore, how can you say, well, the Mishnah says, but if you establish its place and then you replaced it, but you didn't replace it in its place, then you didn't replace it. So that can't be the pshat in the Mishnah. And the truth is, the Rishonim point out there's other reasons that Rabbi Yochanan has for insisting that can't be inicha, which go beyond the Daf Yomi level of discussion, which has to do with the way in which it appears contextually. But leave that aside. The Gemara is happy enough with inicha. Now, you mentioned, now an interesting thing is, now we really, I don't believe this. It's unbelievable. It's like Hamas. You know, they do something, you blow them up, you know. About 3 seconds later, they shoot another rocket. You blow them up. They're back asleep again. I mean, it's not even useful to shoot things at you. No, I mean, the problem is that we're sort of caught in the middle. I mean, you can't use something heavy enough to knock them out because that defeats the purpose. But anything less than that just puts them back to bed. Yeah.
That shows anything. I have a very
excellent
ability.
Richie, I've got a fantastic idea for you. No, I'm not carrying it. How do you like that? It was the recommendation for a gym. All right, so we now have cracked open this nut because we've got three completely different ways to relate to a chiyuv of hashava and to a chiyuv that you take on yourself of onasim. One is out and out gezeila, and the other is shlichut yad, and the third is becoming a shor shalom idas. Now this is very curious. So what we need to zero in on the differences between these types of violations. So let's first discuss, we brought up the question of whether shlichut yad is defined as some new type of chiddush akra, and if it is, what defines it? So we have a machlokas Rav and Levi, which we alluded to earlier. One says, we don't know who at this point, Chan omar shlichut yad tzricha chisaron. So one man yomar says, the definition of shlichut yad is that you are going to do something with it that in some way hurts it. And the other man yomar says, and we don't know who it is, shlichut yad eina tzricha chisaron. No, that's not the point. The point is using it for yourself. Now, that does not mean that necessarily there's not a difference between shalom alo midat and using it for yourself, as we'll see. Because there might be a shoel shalom midat without hakpada, in which case maybe that wouldn't be shlichut yad. But in other words, okay, people don't mind that you use their barrel to stand on if no damage could pass. But, I mean, you're certainly using my barrel. And as a user, you're certainly going to be responsible while you use it. That's the din all over. You're not going to be different than another shoel now, right? So that even if I define violations of the terms of the Shmirah differently, I might still get into the din of your responsibility during the course of the use. So in other words, if somebody, we have halacha, let's say, that things that are sort of generic, so nowadays you could buy a sitter anywhere. So the Mishabura Paskins, you walk into a shul, somebody's sitter, you can use the sitter. The person's, he's okay with the fact that someone is going to use his things to do a mitzvah. But suppose something happens to the sitter while you're using it. So you're going to say, well, it wasn't by fault. So you're no different than the other shul. It wasn't your fault, but you're going to pay. Perhaps. Again, this we have to look into over here. We're getting now into the subtleties of the relationships of ba'alut to users. So, okay, first the Gemara wants to bring, and this is often what we do in order to further get into the subtleties of an issue, is try to bring a raya as to who the unknown man yomar is. Which one said which? Because what that often does is allow us to say, even if you say that, it doesn't prove it because there is a further subtlety. So it gives us an opportunity to break open the case into further subtlety. So let us say, tistayim, let us conclude, the Ravu di Amar Shlichut Yad Eina Tzricha Chisar. It's Rav who said that Shlichut Yad would be any type of Shlichut Yad at all. Why would I think that at the time? So here we have a shepherd, and he's in the middle of his shepherding, and he's leaving the sheep out there to graze, and he remembers he didn't pay Bituach Lumi. So he runs into town for a minute to go ahead and to pay his bills. So Viniachedro Balair. Meanwhile, So in such a case he's potter, because what was he gonna do for a lion anyway? Stand on top of the sheep and go rrr, 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 rrr. I mean, he's going to run anyway, so what's the difference if he runs before or he runs after? So in other words, since there is here no pshia, it's onesin, and we say, actually, later on, much later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about this case, and point out that this implies that the roya doesn't have to be there all the time, and that there it's not considered to be a pshia, so that there's always an hour that you have off in the afternoon to run into town, buy a cup of water, pay your bills and so on, because anyway the sheep graze all day long, but you're falling asleep in the field with them, so what's the difference? Okay, so it's not because it's a pshia, and what happened is an ones, and therefore you shouldn't be chayev. But, and here's the point that's important. How about if he puts his shepherd pack, or his walking stick, on the back of one of the animals? And then he would be chayev. So we asked over there, what? Why would that be chayev him? Even if you hold that it would be considered to be a shlichut yad, we, in fact, have expressed that the din in the Mishnah here, which is a Stam Mishnah, is going Aliba the Rebbe Shmuel, correct? That's how three shitot among the Amoraim that we just had explained the Mishnah. Not like Rebbe Yochanan, that there's a question of the Mishnah of whether it's Rebbe Shmuel or Rebbe Akiva. The Mishnah is Rebbe Shmuel. Okay, so then that would mean that even if we look at putting down on the back of the animal a shepherd's pack, and you would say that that's considered to be shlichut yad, I mean, but he took it off. I mean, he went into town. He went walking to town without his wallet, without his walking stick. So who cares? Now, as Rashi points out, there is no question over here of the idea of simply borrowing something. We're gonna see why. But basically, Rashi's approach is that anything that has to do with a living organism can never simply be a question of shor shelo midat, because there's certainly a chisaron in using a living organism. In other words, it's one thing for people to allow you to use their barrel. It's a totally different thing to allow you to use their computer. Because whatever you do is going to, exactly, it's going to be a problem. Right? There's use, there's losses, there's wear and tear. I'm not interested in you touching that kind of thing. Okay. So that's an important point later on, as we'll see. So now, since it says that over here you would be chayiv, yes, the Gemara Hashaklino, but I mean, you took it off of its back. Omre Nachman, Omre Bar Bavua, Omre Rav. No, it's talking about that they were still on the back of the animal. Says the Gemara, but so what?
When the lion came.
But v'chiyodan aleil mayavi. Who cares if they were on the back of the animal? I mean, halo mashpa. He hasn't now done anything to be kena in any way. There hasn't been an act of gezela, that's for sure. And there has not even been an act of shlichut yad if your yad was never nishlach. It's obvious that shlichut yad requires something that you do that indicates that now I am taking this for myself instead of just using it. And where is the, I'm taking it to use it. You didn't take it to use it in any way. And Rav Shlomo bar Rav Yitzchak quotes Rav, and that's what's important to us, as saying, you know what it's talking about over here? Shikisha b'makel v'ratz telefanav. That he took a stick, throws it at the animal, so that it should be walking along and running along with him with his makel v'tar milo. Now, I mean, you're certainly not going to say that that's considered to be taking it amanat to be mechaseret, because certainly the chisaron in terms of the non-hakpar of a ba'alim on sheila is not the equivalent of chisaron for shlichus yad. I mean, the fact that I threw something at the animal to walk along while there's something on his back is at most shlichus yad. Fine. So nonetheless, apparently, elalav shmaminu kasav shlichus yad ena tzucha chisaron. So in other words, I don't need to have taken away anything. I just need to have misused something. And this is Rav's approach. How do we make sense of the fact that the guy should be chayav when a lion comes if a lion is an ones by definition? It's got to be that he was in a state of shlichut yad at the time and therefore is not potter because of the dinim of shlichut, of shmirah rather, is not potter because of the ptur that the Torah gives you for onesim. And you're chayiv because of the violation of the conditions of the Shmirah. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Because maybe what it means over here is that you threw a stick at it and hurt it. Ema shehi kisha b'makel. And by the way, take it on me. I mean, diktani hi kisha b'makel. Really, I mean, do I need to know that there's a stick involved? If all we're talking about is that he took it, I mean, you could have got it to move with your voice. Because that would be considered to be mashicha. Or you patted its back, whatever. What do you mean? You throw a stick at it. Why mention that? It's completely and totally irrelevant, unless, on the contrary, it's very relevant indeed. Because it's only because it was misused in a way that caused it, you put a little scratch on it. Or you made a bruise. I mean, certainly that is considered to be misuse. And there, maybe it's a classic shlichut yad, even with a chisar.
And it wasn't needed for the sheep?
So if, no, of course not. It wasn't needed. It's my stuff is on it.
I've abused the sheep that's given to my
sheep. For my purposes. Yeah. So, Shmamina, now that we're making the diuk, it's mashma just the opposite. In other words, it's now clear that the approach of Rav is that you're only chayiv because you used the stick. So then that would prove that according to Rav, shlichut yad, tzricha chisaron. And then that would mean that Levi, who argues, he's the one who suffers shlichut yad, ina tzricha chisaron. So therefore, it's got to be talking about, and it's here, actually, that Rashi explained, why don't we say that the case over here has nothing to do with shlichut yad, it has to do with the shoel. Because now he's a shoel, l'shalom yad. He's using the back of an animal to store his tarbilo and makel so that he doesn't have to schlep it into town. So it has nothing to do with shlichut yad. We should have, right off the bat, we should have said, what makes you think we're dealing with shlichut yad? We're just dealing with shalom yidas. I mean, the Baalim didn't tell him to use the animal. And, okay, so he's allowing him to use the animal. Says Rashi, there's never an inyan when it comes to a Baal Chai of being a shalom yidas without shlichus yad. Because that is the definition of shlichus yad. The shalom yidas is where you're not stealing it. Because over there, since there's no hakhasha, there's no usage in using, there's no wear and tear in using a barrel. So over there you could talk about shoel, but where you're talking about misuse, where by definition is wear and tear, it's a car, it's an animal. So over there, we get into right away the issue of shlichut yad, not sheila. Okay. So now, Relevi must hold shlichut yad einat zricha chisaron. Now surely that is a tremendous chiddush. Because where did he get it from? How would you know that a thing that is not going to really damage it in any way, it's the very fact that you took it to use it. That's called a violation of the Tanayim of the Shmirah.
despite the fact that that wasn't defined up front. You mustn't move it, you mustn't take it. I mean, so why would that be a violation of the Shemirah? Where does he get it from? I'll tell you where he gets it from. We have this approach of Rabbi Yosef ben Uroi, who is a Tana, who says some interesting words that don't make sense on the surface, but when we understand them, we will see that that's exactly what he meant. Even though we have two parshiot, one after the other, of Shemir Chinam and Shemir Sachar, and in both of them, it talks about Imlo Shalach Yado Bimlechet Reyu. They are not the same Imlo Shalach Yado Bimlechet Reyu. And what it turns out that he means, as we'll see, is that there would be no need for us to repeat the din of Shlichut Yad twice. Therefore, it must be coming to add a broader definition of Shlichut Yad, which is even Shlichut Yad without Chisaron. And that is Rabbi Yossi ben Uroi's approach, which clearly is what Levi is relying on to say that Shlichut Yad is a new category of violation of trust. Okay. Ani, personally, says Rabbi Yochanan, personally, I disagree. How can Rabbi Yochanan disagree with Rabbi Yossi, who's a Tana? Because we're able to see there's a Tana who argues, and Lamaisa Rabbi Yochanan at times really does disagree with Tanoim. But okay, the Rishonim say, since we'll see in a moment Rabbi Lezer, yeah, that's who he's agreeing with. So now, when you say that it's Mishuneh, my Mishuneh, here's what he meant, and this is how it relates to Levi. That lo tomar, don't even think for a moment that shlichut yad b'shomer sachar. Don't even talk about shlichut yad and the shomer sachar. Did you tell me there's a din of shlichut yad b'shomer chinam? So man, oh man, you need to tell me a din of shlichut yad b'shomer sachar. If a shomer chinam was even potter b'gneva b'aved, the very fact that he was shalech yad would have been mechayev him in onasim. So kol shekein a shomer sachar, who is chayav in gneva b'aved, so shomer sachar shechayav in gneva b'aved, lo kol shekein. Why, therefore, did the Torah bother saying it again? Why would the Torah repeat the entire story of Im lo shalach yado b'mlechet reyehu? Must be lomar lecha shlichut yad ein tzricha chisaron. Must be because it's a broader definition of shlichut yad. V'ani omer, but I disagree. I tell you there's a very good reason to repeat the din of shlichut yad by shomer sachar. Because everybody jumps to a conclusion that the shomer chinam is going to be less chayav than the shomer sachar. And therefore, if there's a din of shlichut yad by the shomer, certainly there would be a din of shlichut yad by shomer sachar. But think about that for a minute. Is it really true that a shomer chinam is, across the board, more lenient than the shomer sachar? A shomer sachar can never be chayav in tashlumei keifa, no matter what he says. A shomer chinam can. So I say, therefore, enam shuna, it's the same shlichut yad with chisaron. And the reason it needs to be repeated is like Rebbe Lazar. It's the same thing. My Davida Achati, how can you say it's the same thing? Why would the Torah? Why would the Torah repeat the din of Shlichut Yad? Since a Shomer Chinam can, by claiming that a Ganav took it, which would potter him, and now that it turns out that he is the Ganav, he now gets the dinim of the Ganav, and pays Kefal by claiming that, so by his own definition, there was a Ganav. Aha! And who is the Ganav? Well, okay. What's the din of a Ganav? Pay Kefal. Okay, you said you're a Ganav, pay Kefal. So if that's the case, since a Shomer Socher can't possibly do that, because if he says it's a Ganav, he'll say, gee, it's really sad it was a Ganav, but pay. So therefore, it's irrelevant that he tied his story to a Ganav. So I need to say that even the Shomer Sachar, who is not as Chomer as the Shomer Chinam, in this particular sense, still needs to take on the oath of Lo Shalach Boyat. And therefore, that's the point. Umandalopari. Now, the one who didn't consider that to be a reasonable pircha to the Kal v'chomer of don't bother telling me that did by Shomer Sachar, I'll learn it not from a Shomer Chinam, is because he holds that's not a chomer of a Shomer Chinam, that's a kula of a Shomer Chinam. Because it's basically built upon the fact that the Shomer Chinam can potter himself from Tashlumin across the board by saying the name of Aveda, and therefore, okay, as an ancillary point, it makes him the Ganav. That's not a din of Shomer Chinam. That's a din of being made the Ganav. So, what does that have to do with it? Basically, Mala Shomer Chinam, the point over there is that karna below shvua is adifa mikvela bishvua. The very fact that I pay karen, as a shomer sachar does, and can't get out of it with a shvua, that is more chomer than the fact that if I do try to get out of it as a shomer sachar, as a shomer chinam, I do try to get out of it, that if I try to get out of it, I will pay kvela with a shvua. So which one is more chomer? The shomer sachar is more chomer because he's always going to be paying karen. Ah, you'll say, ah, but I mean, karen's only half the value of kvela. Yes. But he's going to pay Karen come hell or high water. If he pays Karen, there's no way for him to get away from that Karen with a shvua. So the fact that a guy, well, if he did take a shvua and partner himself, and then it turns out we find the ganav, that's not as chomer as having to pay Karen and not being able to take a shvua. Rava Amar? Rava says, no, there's another very good explanation for how I know, as Levi, that the Shlichus Yad does not require a Chisaron. And you guys have it all wrong. And it's not dependent in the issue of whether it would be Derek to Kav HaChomer from Mishamachinu to Mishamachinu. What you're missing is the Din of Shoel. Consider for a moment. And this is brilliant. Rava's analysis is brilliant. Essentially, I mean, you have been pointing out that we have three different elements. The din of Shoel Shel Amidat, the din of Gezela, and the din of Shlichus Yad. But basically what you've really done is you've taken two different categories that are entirely convergent, and you've given them different names. Because really, if you think about it, what is the meaning of a Shoel's Chiyuv on Onasim? It's that, by definition, a Shoel is always a Sholeach Yad. Except it's with the permission of the Bali. I'm telling you, you can be Shaleach Yad in my thing and use. That's what it boils down to. So what that means is, wherever somebody has that type of relationship, even if the Balaam gives you the Rishus, because the Balaam doesn't give you the Rishus, I mean, let's not be nuts about this. So we define the nature of the category of the Shmira of the Shoel by the fact that it includes within it Shlichut Yad by definition. Is that what that means? So every Shlichut, again, looking at the conceptual basis of this, it's very clear. The nature of Shlichut Yad, and if you take a look in Mishpatim, the whole thing becomes very clear. Mishpatim is arranged along the lines of the idea of in locum Balaam. Whoever now takes the place of the Balaam is defined by the Torah as the Balaam. The din of Tayin Ta'anat Ganav is a classic expression of that idea. In defining your relationship as the Ganav, you become a Ganav. And that's why you're Chayev Kefal. You said, what the heck? And if I told you I lost it, and then it was a Ganav, why wouldn't I pay it? Because you didn't define yourself as a Ganav. That's the point. So in other words, you jump into the world of your own definition. Now, if you go and take something, you've defined yourself as the owner. It doesn't matter that the owner says, now you can use it. Fine. But for all intents and purposes, now I'm the owner. Okay, if you're the owner, and you own something that gets hit by lightning, who's got to pay? I mean, albeit the American system is somebody's to blame for the lightning, right? But in the old days, when there were just accidents, you know. So over there, so who's going to pay? You're going to pay, so to speak. You lost that out of your own pocket. Well, it's exactly the same thing. If you're the Balaam, so you lost it. It's over. You take the loss. Why should we then, conceptually, view Shlichut Yad as anything but an extension of the idea of Shoel? Whatever was defined up front as your rights as a Shomer has now been changed into becoming the Shoel or a Sholeach Yad. There's no real difference between the Sheila. Forget about whether a Sheol Shomi does a Goslin. That's not the point. He's certainly a Shoel. Good. So then that means that every Shlichus Yad is basically just plain Sheila. Why do you mention then the din of Shlichus Yad by the Shomer Kinnam or the Shomer Sof? I could derive it conceptually from the idea of a Shoel. Is that a gorgeous argument? So therefore, Taina's Rava, lo tomash Shlichut Yad, lo b'Shomer Kinnam, lo b'Shomer Sof. Why even mention a concept called Shlichut Yad?
Well, if he uses it with permission, the Shoel.
We'll get to that. But it's certainly not going to be better without permission.
Yeah, but why suppose that he's Shoel Yad?
Because it means that you are mechanically acting as the owner. That's what Shlichut Yad means. Shlichut Yad is a code word for mechanical usages that don't define true relationship of ownership. That's what Shlichut Yad means. It means that you are able to move your hand and achieve things which conceptually should not be achievable. The makor for that is the Eitz HaChaim. Ben yishlach yado v'yikach mi'Eitz HaChaim. So you say, how could you possibly take from the Eitz HaChaim and eat it when it isn't yours conceptually? So in other words, the impact of the chet in Gan Eden was to reduce relationships to mechanics. So now if there'll be Sholeach Yad, he's not the Balaam on the Eitz HaChaim. That's the point. So it's impossible for a mechanical being to live in an unmechanical universe, which is exactly what that pasuk means. Therefore, put him into outside of Gan Eden, which in fact is a mechanical universe on the surface, and there he'll be able to live. So that we live our lives believing in mechanics. Even though in the end we always learn the lesson that you never get anything that isn't yours anyway, and that the mechanics always end up destroying you. That's fine. But meanwhile, we need to lead a life of where does mechanics actually come close to the real thing. And that's the din of Shmira, or the other elements in Mishpat, which, by the way, goes even as it did in Gan Eden to sexual mechanics. You can pretend that someone is your wife and sleep with them. But then you become the Baalim, which is why you pay her ketuvah. That's the relationship between ketuvah. Oh, you seduced her? Fine. Okay, how much does that worth? That's exactly what would have caused you. You act as a husband, now you are the husband. As a matter of fact, if you act so much as the husband that you actually forcibly act as a husband, now you are a husband. But I don't want to be your husband. Tough. You want to be a husband for a minute? Okay. That defined the relationship. You thought it was all mechanical. I got news for you. There are places where mechanics come to approach the nature of the real thing. Now you're going to be your husband. And you're not going to be able to divorce her. What do you think about that? Okay. So if that's the case, Dinah's Rava, And we have here a classic example of that idea, which is the underlying point of the whole parsha. Why bother mentioning then the din of Shlichut Yad in any event? By Shor Mechina, by Shor Mesorcha, I don't care. Because I would say, look, if a Shoel, who even has the Baalim's permission to do what he's doing, nonetheless, the very fact that he was Shalach Bayad in... You understand that? You understand how beautiful this is? Because we're used to thinking the word Shalach Bayad means the violation. That's not what it means. So over here, you're doing Shlichut Yad with the permission of the Baalim. And that's enough to be Mechayev Yubon Asim. So Shalach Bayad Chayav, Shor Mechina, Shor Mesorcha, who don't have permission, so lo koshik, and that there'll be Chayav. So therefore, Lama Ne'amar, why bother mentioning a concept called Shlichut Yad by Shor Mechina and Shor Mesorcha? That's what Levi is saying. You can't possibly be telling me a din of Shlichut Yad, which I know by definition, but from Shoel, you must be extending it. Oh, that I might have thought maybe it was only if there would be a Chisaron. Comes along now to tell me, no, even without a chisaron, that's still called Shlichut Yad. So, of course, that's only one of them. Okay, so Chada, Shor Mechina is there to tell me that Shlichut Yad ain't a chisaron, which is more than I would be able to know from Shoel. And the other one? The other one. Shor Mesorcha. The other one is to tell me, Shalo Tomar Dayo Lavo Min Adin Liot Kinidon. If I learn it out of Shoel, I am stuck. I'm stuck with a built-in limitation to the chayvut of Onasim, in a case of Pikadon, of Shlichus Yad. What is that limitation? It's a brilliant limitation. The Torah says, and by the way, this is the explanation for why this is true. We read in Mishpatim a crazy halacha. The crazy halacha is, Ba'alav ein imo shalem yishalem. What do you mean, Ba'alav ein imo? So we learn out from that, something that every schoolboy knows, and is meant to be the strange Chiddush Hakra that has no real meaning. In our terms, that if the owner of the thing that you were using was doing something for you at the same time that you had been shayal, then you're put. Crazy. So in other words, if you ask the guy to do you a favor and carry in your bags, if you're a smart guy, so when you're taking the shmirah on as a shayal, you'll ask him to do you a favor. You know, while you're bringing the animal, could you bring in my bags? So at that point, you become potter from onasim. Because Baalav was imo. But the idea, again, is beautiful. You're not in locum Baal when the Baal is there. That's the point. So if Baalav imo, then we don't have this whole idea of kol shlichut yad, because that's part of the data Baalim. He's present. But if that's the case, then I would think that that would be true by Shor Mechina and Shor Mesorcha as well, because I'm stuck with dayo. Garbage in, garbage out. If this is what you're telling me is the basis of the limud, so then I would have to say that that's exactly the same halacha. And if actually there was a Baalim there, Masha'el, the Baalim Patur, Av Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, if the Baalim had been involved initially, then a Shlichut Yad would not be able to be more chayiv than a Shoel would be chayiv, because we're limiting it to the relationship of a Shoel. Oh, wow, that's brilliant. So I need now a special pasuk to escape the dayo. That's what's really going on. And that's Levi's approach, says Rav. Wait, so, hey, you know, this is really brilliant. So what does Rav do with this? I mean, we really do have two extra psukim here. So what does he need if he holds that we can't use one to expand the din of Shlichut Yad? So then, what does he do with the extra psukim? No, because everybody would agree, obviously, to the dayo problem, right? Because, I mean, I need to make sure that Shlichut Yad is not going, I'm not going to be able to get away with using something just because there was a Baalim there in the relationship of Shor Mechina and Shor Mesorcha. Because the nature of the interrelationship was not a nature of She'ela. It is I who turned it into a relationship of She'ela subsequently. But therefore, there's no Ptur of Baal Avimo. So I need one Pasik, obviously, Shalot Tomar Dayal Avo Min Adin Liot Kinidon. What's the other one for? What's Shor Mesorcha for? I'll tell you. Here's what Shor Mesorcha for. Idal Tekiritani. V'nikrav Baal Abayit El HaElohim Im Lo Shalach Yado B'Melech HaGreya. When it comes to Shor Mechina, it says, pay kefal, and then go to court. Now, what does that mean, go to court? You know what it means, says the Braita? It means go to court to take a shvua, and it's only in that context that we said that you're going to be chayev to pay. But not if you said it was stolen, and then we find the god, and then you will not pay. How do you know? Ataol me'er l'shvua, continues the Braita. So says you. Where do you see that in the pasuk? Oh, eino ela ledin. I mean, all it says is v'nikrav balabayit ela Elohim im lo shalach yadam v'melech adreya, which sounds like, okay, bring your witnesses, bring your proofs, whatever the case is, but you'll have to go to court over this issue. Now, how do you know it means that you need to take a shvua? Aha. Shlichut Yad is the makor of the din of shvua. Okay? Because the word im lo shalach yado appears in the story of the Shor Mesachar as well. And it appears in the story of a Shor Mechina. Now, by the Shor Mesorcha, it says the Farish. What Hashem to Yeben Shneim im lo shalach yadom im lechad reyehu. Doesn't say a word about that when it comes to Shor Mechina. It says El Elohim. Therefore, I need to know that the same Shlichut Yad is defined by Shor Mesorcha, as Shvuat Hashem Tiyah Ben Shneihem. That is the meaning of Nikrav Ba'al HaBayit El Elohim. In both cases, the Nikrav is the Shvuat Hashem, and without it, you're not going to become Chayev in the Kefil that was aforementioned. Afkan L'Shvu'ah. HaMafkit Chavit Etzel Chaveroh. V'lo yichadola ba'alim makom v'tiltola v'nishtabra im itor yado nishbara l'tzorcho chayav l'tzorcho patur im mi shehinicha nishbara b'natzorcho patur yichadola ba'alim makom v'tiltola v'nishbara meim itor yado meim shehinicha l'tzorcho chayav l'tzorcho patur. Now, it's starting the Mishnah, Amani Rabbi Shmuel, the Yomar lo b'inadat ba'alim, and therefore when you put it back down, you become patur. The Tanya, Hagonev Tile min ha'eder, V'selam min ha'kis, L'bakom sheganav yachzir. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva omer, Lo, it's not enough, because it's not about Baalim. Ask Rabbi Shmuel, Ma'er lo yichto, afilo yichto nami, Lo miboy kama, Lo miboy yichto de mekomahu, Afilo lo yichto, Do lab mekomahu, Still lo bein adat Baalim. Ema seifa. Yirdula ha'baalim makom etotolav nishbra, bein mitokadob em yishnicha, letzorcho chayav letzorcho patur, could only work out with Rabbi Akiva. The Yom Rabin and Dad Baalim. Wait a minute, but if it's Rabbi Akiva, my ayre yirdo afilo lo yirdo nami, lo mi boy koma. Lo mi boy lo yirdo, the lav mekomahu. El afilo yirdo nami de mekomahu, bein and Dad Baalim. Does it make sense that Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, but save Rabbi Akiva? Well, there's no choice. The Yom Rabbi Yochanan, anybody who can be metargim li chavit, alib de chatana, I'm telling you right now, movanamani batre leve masuta. Tirgamar of Yaakov or Abba come in the Rav, shenatla almanat le gozla. Tirgamar of Nosim bar Abba come in the Rav, shenatla almanat le shloach bayad. Why do they have to explain it differently? But I could be forget. Bishlichot yad zirchach yisaron. Man diom le gozla, kasav shlichot yad zirchach yisaron. Man diom le shloach bayad, kasav shlichot yad inat zirchach yisaron. Matkiflor of Shesis, neither approach is acceptable. It doesn't say natla, it says tiltila. Elon of Shesis, my skin is going to tiltila. He moves it 3 feet because he needs to stand on it. Lavi aler goes a lot. Vikasava, Shoel Shalomidat Gazlan Avi, and that's what the Kiddush is. But all three agree, Kula Rabbi Shmoli, and the difference between having a Mokum and not having a Mokum is that the Seif is referring to Inichab Mokum She'ina Mekoma. That's the point. Rabbi Yochanan says, that can't be the point. He nicha by definition means bimkoma mashma. Itma. Rav Alevi chana mashlichut yad zircha chisaron, v'chana mashlichut yad eina zircha chisaron. Tistayim. The Rav who did a mashlichut yad eina zircha chisaron. The Tanya. Ro'eh, shaya ro'eh ed ro. V'niach ed ro'ba le'ir ba zeh v'tarav v'ba ariv adaras, patur. V'niach maklo v'tarmilo alea chayav. Vavina ba what? Just because he niach makov tarmilo alea chayav hashaklinu. Omer nachon omer brabavua omer rav. No, he didn't take it off. It was ba'odan alea. So who cares? V'ki odan alea my havi. Halo mashcha. V'omer shvul barav yitzchak omer rav. It's talking about shikisha b'makel. V'rat stelavanav. So you'll say, but I mean, where's the chisaron? Lela lav shmaimino. Kosava shlichud yad. Ein natzricha chisaron. No, on the contrary. Why else do you think he mentioned the makel at all? Shikishaba makel. Shmami, if anything, you need to conclude the opposite. That Ravot Shlich was Yad Tzrichachi Saron. Okay, so Umir Rav Sober Shlichat Yad Tzrichachi Saron. Then Levi Sober Shlich was Yad Eina Tzrichachi Saron. Basing it upon what? Omer Rabbi Yochanan Rishur 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 Rishur. It's because Mishuneh Shlichut Yad Amura B'Shem B'Sachar. But I must tell you, I disagree. Ani Omer Inam Mishunah. There's good reason for the repetition. What was meant over here? My Mishunah? No, my Mishunah means Lo Tiamer Shlichut Yad B'Shomer Tzachar at all. V'Teiti Mishomer Chinam Ma Shomer Chinam Shepotur B'Gneiva V'Aveda Shalom V'Yot Chayav Shomer Tzachar Shechayav B'Gneiva V'Aveda Lo Koshike Shulama Yilchata Katvinu Rachmana. Clearly says Levi Lomar Lecha that shlichut yad ein atzricha chisaron. But I'm saying that that's not the point. That's Levi's raya. But ani omer ein ha-mishunah, as Rabbi Elazar points out, actually dovad ha-achati, meaning my dovad ha-achati, mishabdikel ha-mifrach, ma'ala shemer chinam, that actually it's more chomer. So you can't learn out shemer sachar v'shemer chinam because you can't be shalim tashulikevu b'tayin tanat ganav. Umandalo parked that question. He holds Karna below Shvua is clearly Adifa Mikvela Bishvua. Rav Amar, everybody's missing the point here. It's actually Lote Amer Shlichut Yad Lo B'Shama Kinam V'Lo B'Shama Sachar V'Teiti Mishoel. Ma Shoel B'Ladad Bali Ka'ovid. And nonetheless, he's Ka'ovid the Shlichus Bayad. He's Chayim. Shama Kinam V'Shama Sachar will go without the Dad Bali V'Lakoshikim. So then, Loma Neemar, Chada Lomar Lacha Shlichut Yad Ein Tzricha Chisaron V'Idak Shlo Tomar Daya Lomar Min Adin Liot Kinidon. And then you would think, Ma Shoel B'Balim Patur, Avshar Mechinim B'Shamer Sachar, B'Balim Patur, Kamashmo. Uluman Yomar Shlichut Yad, Tzricha Chisaron, Hane Tarte Shlichut Yad, Lomali, Chod, Arshalo Tomar, Dayalo V'Min Adin Liot Kinidon, V'Idach Lede Kidetanya, V'Nikrav Balabayet El Elohim, Lishvua, Talmer Lishvua, who says, Oin El Ledin, because never Shlichut Yad, Lomata, never Shlichut Yad, Lomala, Mala Allah Lishvua, Afkan Lishvu'am.